So be fruitful and multiply. We've been walking through this, our kind of our verse that we're going to probably intertwine through the whole series is John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I'll have the verses behind me. You can follow along that way. It's probably easier. I would still recommend writing them down because check up on me. Chew on it during the week. It's good stuff. So John 15, verse 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear even more fruit. So this, what we're having is kind of what I'm called a physical inventory, or a, just I guess you call it almost like a yearly physical of where we're at in life. We know that God expects to see in us fruit. Matter of fact, God's actually pretty serious about it. And even this verse kind of shows us that God checks. And when he doesn't see fruit, he acts. He makes changes. He does things to ensure that there will be fruit. But the interesting thing is that God is not willing to let you stay at your same level of fruitfulness. God will continue to make even more changes in your life so you become even more fruitful. That's how valuable God believes fruit is. Now, last week we looked at taking care of the heart. I mean, we know that we are what we eat. Or I guess it's almost better described as we are whatever we allow inside of us. Matter of fact, but we know when we're connected to the true vine, which is God, that we know that we're going to get the nutrition necessary to grow. We know that. Now, the heart, it's kind of the center of the emotions, wouldn't we agree? It's where we decide if we like something or not. Matter of fact, the hearts are, what the Bible says is, it is literally a measure of what you treasure, what you love. Matter of fact, it says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And you can rarely hide what you love, too. I mean, you spend any time around someone for a period of time, you will quickly learn what they love. So by looking in a mirror, or even kind of asking other people in our life that we love and trust, they can do periodic fruit checks in us just to see what we really are connected to. See, our goal is not to only become a new creation like the Bible says, but it's to make sure that we're doing our part to stay that way. It's not just that initial encounter with God, but it's spending time being in his presence to allow him to completely renew us. Now, what we're going to look at today, so last week was taking care of the heart. This week we're going to talk about taking care of the mind. You can turn with me if you want to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple verses for you. Romans chapter 12. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's the promise we made to Jesus, right? Isn't it? We offered ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. Matter of fact, because we were so thankful for the sacrifice that he did, right? On the cross, he sacrificed everything for us. There was nothing he held back. And I like how it says that this is how we worship God, our spiritual act of worship. Matter of fact, some versions say a reasonable service. This is just reasonable. This is just what you should be doing when someone gives that much. It's our sacrifice that God sees in his eyes as acceptable. Matter of fact, it's the only sacrifice that God is willing to accept. Everything. He expects all. Matter of fact, God knows the only way that you can sacrifice all is to not do what the world is doing. We just read that, right? Matter of fact, Paul uses a word called conform. Now, conform means to follow the pattern of something. It's or to try to make yourself look like something. It would be like putting on a costume. It would be like a disguise or a copy of something. Because he knows that based on what you allow inside of you, you will become that. But if you're connected to anything but God, you're going to be anything but godly. Because remember, a fig tree can't bear olives, right? We learned that. It's interesting, though, if Paul here actually gives an alternative to the church in Rome. That's who the book of Romans was written to. It was to the church in Rome. Matter of fact, so Paul says not to conform, but instead says to be transformed. That's a much different word than the word conform. See, transformed, it's not just covering something up so you look different. You aren't just trying to act differently than how you used to behave. You aren't like putting a mask on, maybe washing off a little bit of the dirt, you're doing something to disguise yourself. Transformed is much more than that. Matter of fact, the verse that I talk about often, that 2 Corinthians 5, it says, when we made the choice, our choice, to follow Jesus, the Bible says that we become a new creation. It's that mental picture of the caterpillar going inside of the cocoon and coming out a butterfly. They don't look the same. They're not the same. They're completely different. You, matter of fact, you can't tell the difference. If you look at the butterfly, you're like, where did that come from? It's not the same thing anymore. See, transformation is not like you taking your list of bad behaviors that you used to do before you followed Jesus and replace them with a new list of good behaviors that you got from the Bible. That's not transformation. See, you're choosing to follow God because you know what he's done. There's been something profound that's happened inside of you. It really, it's not switching your to-do list of the flesh to a to-do list from the Bible. It's God taking that to-do list from of your flesh and then you then beginning to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's very different. That's why even though we're slaves, we become free. Look, we'll admit that being a follower of Jesus, it's about submission. It's about being a slave. But what we learn, though, is that the Christian life, if you really live the Christian life, it's actually a life of freedom. Now, some of you may say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. How can you be both a slave and free? How can you be both? Freedom is doing what you love to do, if what you love to do is what you should be doing. I'll say that again. Freedom is doing what you love to do, if what you love to do is what you should be doing. Look, the truth is, many people in this world, they believe they're free. Or they're chasing after freedom. They believe that freedom is the ability to do whatever they want to do. Would you agree? I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. That's not true. That's not freedom. See, there are so many people who do what they want to do in life, and they're not free. They're what? They are controlled by their selfish nature. They're controlled by the human part of them. They're literally controlled by sin. See, freedom is when you are doing what you love, and those are the things that the Bible tells you you should be doing. You aren't bound by anything. See, you're choosing to follow God because you know that God is good. And you know that what is in the Bible is good. And you know that when you do what's in the Bible, when you do that, it makes you feel good. That's freedom. See, freedom is, we talked about this last week. When, what do we allow inside ourselves? What do we allow, what do we feed on? What do we eat? What do we allow inside of us? Where are we storing up our treasure? See, when our hearts become changed, when we're removed from the other vines and we're connected solely to Jesus, just Him, what happens to us is what we love changes. Right? It should. Look, the truth is that everyone in this world, they just want to do what they love. Isn't that really what most people pursue? And they just do. Matter of fact, ask someone, I just want to do whatever I love and not be punished for doing it. Right? Matter of fact, those who get hurt, they tend to be the ones that did do what they love, but they love themselves more than anything else. And so because of that, they were seen as selfish and it hurt a lot of the relationships that they had. Because they were doing what they loved, but what really ended up showing itself was that they loved themselves. But see, instead, when we just love God and we're doing whatever we feel that God wants us to do, I'm telling you, it changes the things that you love. New creation. Look, how many people here would love to end duty-driven Christianity? I'll explain what that is. You're given this long list of these are the things that you have to do and these are the things that you can't do. How many of you would love to get away from that as a relationship with God? I would. How about instead I told you, you could spend your entire life just doing whatever you loved. Whatever you loved. That's all you got to do. Matter of fact, you wake up in the morning and I'm just doing whatever I love. How would you sign up for that? I would. You kidding me? I can do whatever I love all day long? But see, the only way that can happen is if you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way. Now, first you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. What's wrong with my mind? Well, now I can only speak for men because I am one, you know. But I'm going to tell you, the most trouble I have in my life is in my mind. It is. Matter of fact, it's where I run into most of my problems. I mean, look, my wandering mind gets me in trouble all the time with my wife. You know, I mean, are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, sure. What did you just say? You know, I mean, my logical, kind of bluntly honest mind, that gets me in trouble too, you know? Well, honey, does this make me look fat? Yes, I got quickly covered the mouth or just, you know, because then my imaginative, selfish mind, that also gets me in trouble too. Look, truth be told, you really don't want to know what's going on in my mind. Being honest. Look, I'm not the most emotional person. That's just not how I'm wired. I'm not, you know. Matter of fact, I try to avoid those things. Maybe that's just a guy thing, but I try to avoid a lot of the feelings from the heart type. You know, I try to stick with the logical A plus B equals C. I do. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where I kind of feel I can figure things out, you know, and at least I have a shot of, you know, of accomplishing that. But that actually is the problem with our minds. See, most people in the world, they believe that the fix or the cure for the mind is just more information, more knowledge. The more that, you know, the more I can put inside me, then that's going to somehow set me free. That's going to make things right. I mean, let's just take the emotion out of things, right? Find out the truth. And the truth will set you free. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I mean, you really think about it, you almost want to be able to say, that should be a verse somewhere that I should be able to quote. But see, that's what the world believes. You know, the power of the internet, right? I mean, it's just one search away. All I got to do, and I'll know everything. Google it really quick. We have phones now. We can just, anytime. But the truth is, you know what knowledge and education get you? the ability to refine your power of sin. That's all it really does. Look, the most educated sinners, they tend to do the most damage. They do. When your mind has nothing to do with God, or even when you're just trying to pack your mind full of as much truth as you possibly can, all you're doing is conforming to a new way of thinking. That's all you're doing. You aren't allowing a transformation to happen. And that's different. Now, I'm going to try to explain. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. It's all got to be in the Word. You got to ground it. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Kind of an interesting way of saying it, isn't it? To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I mean, what Paul's saying here is that the mind isn't just some logical list, you know, a wealth of knowledge that it presents to the heart, and then the heart then takes that information and decides, well, do I like it or not? Which one of those choices do I like the most? And the heart then kind of says, all right, we'll go this way. That's not what it is. The mind has a kind of a spirit component to it. You almost want to call it like a mindset or a viewpoint. I'm telling you, minds have a bent towards something. They do. Matter of fact, before you gave your life to Jesus, you know your mind was bent toward? Yourself. Matter of fact, our minds were actually hostile to God. You know why? Because our minds wanted what we wanted, and God kind of was against that. No, you don't go for what you want. Change. Be transformed. New creation. We wanted to take care of our desires, what we wanted. We really wanted to take care of our flesh. And there's a reason why we needed a transformation inside of our mind and not just our heart. It had conformed to the pattern of the world. See, the problem with my mind isn't that it needs more information so I can objectively figure out, you know, what I should or shouldn't do. It's really not what you need. It doesn't need more information so my choices are presented to the heart and the heart's kind of like, you know, I like this one, and so I feel like doing it. It's not what it's for. The mind needs a transformation. It needs to become something completely new. And look, the truth is, most of us here know that. I mean, does that really surprise you that you think, well, man, I really need to renew my mind? We know what goes inside our minds. We know the truth. We know we need God. We know that God is worthy of our praise. We know that God is perfect in every way. Does really need someone need to explain that to us? Look, he gave everything, died, gave us life. So why is there still something inside us that says, no, I want my way. I want that. Why is that? Our mind has a mindset that's toward the flesh. That's what needs to be transformed. Look, we've exchanged the glory of God for the glory of man. Well, really the glory of ourselves, though, right? Isn't that really what it is? Well, let me jump back a few verses in Ephesians 4. Let's jump back to verse 17. I was in 22, so jump back a few. And it says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. All right, so it mentions three things here that I kind of want to just talk about a little bit. It says futility of the mind, darkening understanding, and ignorance from a hardened heart, okay? Now, the futility of the mind means that, you know, it's being mentally foolish. It's having kind of an aimlessness, like a purposeless. It's an empty life. It's when there seems to be like a lot of activity and information, but you're not going anywhere. There's no future. Have you ever met that person who just, they always seem to be going in circles in life? You know, no matter how hard they tried, they never seemed to end up anywhere. They always seemed back at the same place. Met someone like that? The next one, the darkening in their understanding. It's the inability to understand spiritual truth. It's to know all the right things to do, but to be powerless to do them. Or to logically even make the right decisions. Look, I've met many smart people who know the Bible way better than I do. And still, the mistakes that they make in life are huge. You could still know truth and still be blind to what it's trying to get you to do. The hardening heart. See, what that does is it causes us to be unaware of just how poor our choices are. Our tendency is just to serve ourselves, right? Our hardening heart, the problem is it doesn't see the damage that our decision's doing. It's hard toward it. Have you ever met that person that just seems so cold, so callous? That, you know, matter of fact, they're not emotional anymore. As a matter of fact, no matter what decision they make, it almost seems like it doesn't bother them. You're like, this just happened in your life. And whatever. I've seen marriages where that happens to one of the two. They're just like, whatever. Just got to get through. Look, I wish the cure would be just to sit down, you know, for 1 hour every day and read the Bible. I wish that was the cure. That's all you had to do. Just, you know what? Pick up the Bible, sit down for an hour and read, and then that you're just going to put all this truth in you. And look, that's part of it. That's part of the solution, but it's only half of it. There's a second part to it when you're going to renew your mind. So what do we need to do to renew the mind? I think this scripture will point us toward it. It's actually in the book of Titus. That's in the New Testament. Maybe hard for some of you to find, that's all right. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's actually interesting. The word renewal that we read in Romans 12, that Greek word is only used one other place in the whole entire Bible, here. That's it. The only two places that you'll find it. See, the renewal of the mind happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really what happens. Matter of fact, I want to call it the Holy Spirit's double work. And here, let me explain what I mean. See, the first thing the Holy Spirit does have to do is it has to bring us truth from the outside in. Think of it here. Truth has to come from the outside in. We receive the truth by reading the Bible. We do. That is the Word of God. That is undeniable, will never change. It is a rock. No matter what you go through, the Bible doesn't change. It is a rock. It is the foundation and has to be the foundation of your life. Has to. No matter, there are no shortcuts to this. Well, there are some things that you can do that to make it easier. There are, but there are no shortcuts. You got to get the Word of God in you. Look, I mean, one thing you can do is you can get an easier translation of the Bible to understand. Some people, they have a hard time with some of the Bible translations. And so find one that works for you. Find one that you can understand, that you can read it, and you know what the Bible's saying. Matter of fact, another thing you can do is you can get books from respected Bible teachers. I read a lot. I read the Bible and I read other books. And they will give you insight to what the Bible is talking about certain topics. I find them very helpful. I do. Matter of fact, you can listen to sermons on Sunday morning. You can get podcasts and other messages from other Bible teachers. But let me be key on this. Listen to Bible teachers, not opinion givers. Big difference. Why? See, an opinion is only good as the person who gives you the opinion, right? But someone who teaches the Bible, Does the Bible ever change? No. So try to find Bible teachers, one that their messages are not based on their opinion, but it's based on what the Word of God says. You won't have to worry about it then, right? Or you can join a small group, a Bible study. I'm telling you, it allows you to ask questions. It allows you to wrestle with things with other people who are trying to do the exact same thing that you are. There's just something about being able to talk through the Bible with someone else that just makes it come alive in you. It does. Remember, and all these allow the Holy Spirit the ability to plant the Word of God in you. Let's read Romans 12:2 again. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect." See, when we fill our mind with God's word, the truth, it gives us the ability to know what God's will is for us. Matter of fact, did you notice how it's God's will is described? I love it. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. See, because once we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our mind through the Word of God, we have the ability to make choices that are good. And now remember, this is good based on God's opinion, not yours. That's important, because there's a lot of things that you think are good that God doesn't. So this is good based on God's opinion. And it's acceptable. You know what that means? It means that that's the decision that God would make if he was you. You know the what would Jesus do? That's what acceptable means. It means that God would accept that decision. And it's perfect. You know what that means? It means it's complete. It's flawless. It's perfect. Isn't that the kind of decisions you want to make in your life? See, the Holy Spirit is able to take the Word of God, plant it inside of you, and change your way of thinking. It gives you a new foundation of truth. And we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to do that by the more that we read and listen to the Word of God. Now, the second part that the Holy Spirit does is it humbles our hardened hearts from the inside out. See, the Word comes from the outside in, but see, then the Holy Spirit from the inside out changes our hearts. See, we can know all the right things to do based on what the Bible says, and still, if our hearts are hard, we won't choose to do them, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew the right thing to do? You didn't do it. Why? Because your heart didn't want to. Your heart chose to do something different. See, when we decided to follow Jesus, which we made that choice, right? We asked the Holy Spirit to come inside and to make us what? A new creation. We die to what we want. We sacrifice our desires and we allow the Holy Spirit to make us a new creation where God's desires become our desires. If that hasn't happened, you know what that means? You're not following Jesus. Let that sink in. Look, is God's word true? Well, God says that if you're following after me, if you've given your life to me, then you are a new creation. Are you a new creation? Well, I guess your fruit will prove that. That's the evidence of that. Look, if that hasn't happened yet in your life, that means you've got to surrender. You've got to lay it down. That means that there are things in your life that you've not given to God and you're still carrying, that he's saying, no, everything, lay it down and leave it there. Look, without both of those things happening in your life, truth coming in and selfishness going out, you're going to risk missing half the process. So where do we go from here? I want to kind of follow the pattern that I did last week. I'm going to give you four steps to change. Four steps. Number one, you got to plan ahead. You have to plan ahead because those who fail to plan to fail. You need to come up with a plan on how you're going to fill your mind with the truth that can only be found in the Bible. Matter of fact, I have a gift for you this morning. I want to give you this small little pamphlet. You know what this pamphlet is? It is a chart on how to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. It will give you day by day. Can I have some ushers, please? Remember, you can just start handing these out. Jonathan, help your mom. And it will literally give you the ability to read through the entire Bible, starting on January 1st all the way through December 31st. If you do it, you will be able to read it all the way through. It can be done. You know what the beautiful thing about the Bible is, too? It literally is a love story from God to you. It really is. It is a love story that talks about how He created us and how He longs to be with us. And you know what the ending is? Him together forever with us in heaven. I know, I kind of spoiled the ending on that. But when you take time reading it all the way through, you know what you'll learn? There is not a problem that you face that the Bible won't help you through. You can look at the examples. There are good examples and bad examples of people in the Bible of how they made choices and what the impact was of that choice. But you know what the truth is throughout all those choices? God still stayed with them. God was still with them to the end. God never left them. Now, look, I'm going to recommend that you get a translation of the Bible that you do understand easily. Matter of fact, I'll give you a couple suggestions. These are ones that I normally have right behind me. One of the best ones, and you'll see it in my sermons a lot, it's the NIRV. Write it down, NIRV. That's the New International Reader's Version. It's actually a pretty close translation of the Bible, but it's written toward those around the 12-year-old age range, 12-year-old. I'm telling you, I use it all the time. ESV, see that ESV in the top? The English Standard Version. It's a great study version. For those of you who have some maturity and really want to be able to dive into the Bible, great one for you. For those of you who are just kind of newer and you want to have something that's more of a paraphrase rather than an exact translation, the NLT, the New Living Translation. It's good. It's not perfect, but I really believe it gives a good understanding about what the Bible is trying to say. New King James Version, excellent as well. It's a little harder to read than some of the other ones that I've talked about, but it's still enough to get you going. Now, but I want to caution you, though. If you've never read through the Bible all the way from start to finish, don't start with the Message Version. I like the Message Version in some ways, but I'm telling you, in some parts, it's kind of confusing. Don't do it for your first time. Do it later, because I've done it that way, but your first couple times, you'll stay away from that one. But either way, make a plan and start. So plan. Number two, put in the work. Look, you can do all the planning in the world, but unless you actually put in the work, those plans are worthless. They're not going to do anything. So find a choice of when you're going to start and start. But look, make sure you count the cost. And let me explain, because if you don't count the cost, you're not going to be committed to the end. It'd be like someone who doesn't run at all, and then one day they decide, I'm going to run 3 miles. I'm going to start running 3 miles every day. And so they go out, and you know what? They may actually, for that one day, they may get through all 3 miles. They may be crawling at the end, but they do. They run that whole 3 miles. I would hate to be in their body the next day. What's the likelihood of them running that next day? Probably not. So look, there are things that you can do to make sure that you stay committed all the way to the end. Look, if you're not a good reader, then you know what? Listen to the Bible. This is a $129 entire Bible on the NIV. First person after church who comes up and says to me that I want it, I'll give it to you. You have to promise that you're going to listen to it, but this is the entire Bible in the NIV version. Good version. You'll be able to understand it, and I will give it to whoever comes up and asks me for it after church. About $130 retail. No excuses. It gives you the ability to get the, because it doesn't matter if you read it, you're trying to get the word of God inside you. How do you follow something that you have never heard, that you don't even know is in there? Maybe for some of you who, maybe you have a daily time that you study the Bible. Maybe you already do that. That's awesome. How about take it up a level? How about memorizing the Bible? How about that? Look, if you want to do that, I'll give you three different books that if you do and you're consistent, they're probably between like 100 to 120 verses. You can memorize them in a year. Book of 1 John, Book of James, and Book of Philippians. You can do this. Why do I know you can do this? Because all four of my kids, while they were in middle school and elementary school, memorized them. One a year. They did it. We did it as a family. If they can do it, you can do it. All you do is just break it into pieces. How about doing it as a family? I'm telling you, when we did that together as a family with the Book of James, Book of James, man, that's a powerhouse. So, plan ahead, put in the work. Number three, produce fruit. And what that means is being willing to be honest at what's growing in your life. The fruit that you will actually begin to see is that you'll be in situations where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is going to bring up that verse in the Bible when you're like, God, what should I do? And boom, that verse is going to come up. And it's going to be exactly what you need at that time. And you're going to be like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, because you took the time to hide the word of God in your heart. When you do that, the Bible says, then you won't sin. It's a sin protector. You know how we use like sunscreen to not get sunburned? We put on like off mosquito repellent so we don't get bit. Well, you know what? Hide the word of God in your heart so you don't sin. Because when you're about to do it, all of a sudden that verse comes to your mind. Whoa, I can't. Or whoa, I have to. It's not even a choice anymore. Because that's what you'll learn. You'll learn that following after God, it's not you trying to make the right decisions. The decisions have already been made. They're in the Bible. All you're doing is following what God's already told you to do. I'm telling you, it removes the choice out of your mind. You don't know, well, do I do this? Well, what did the Bible say? The Bible says to do that. Oh, well, then that's what I got to do. I'm telling you, remove your stress. Oh, God. What do I do in this situation? What does the Bible say? Oh, well, I don't like that. Well, that's a different sermon. We'll cover that another time. So, all right. Finally, purposeful accountability. The step we hate. I know. The step we hate, purposeful accountability. What is it? Look, I'll make it easier for you. Small groups, consistent coming to church on Sunday, family devotions that you do at home, memorizing the Bible together. There are lots of different ways that you can make yourself accountable with someone else in your life that will help you stay strong and committed to being in the Word of God. It could be as simple as finding one friend, and then maybe as you're doing the read through the Bible, you know, reading through the Bible in a year, where you just commit that every day you send a text that says, this is what I learned from the Bible. This is what I got. And so they're holding you accountable. Or it could be if you're memorizing. Maybe it's once a week you quote to each other whatever you memorize for that week. And it's not to guilt you. It's not to make you feel stressed or frustrated. It's hopefully to encourage you. It's to be like, you know what? I'm going to lift their arms when they're tired, and they're going to lift my arms when I'm tired. So you know when I get that text of this is what I read, and I'm like, oh, I didn't read yet today. And you know what? I'm going to, because it's the right thing to do, and I'm committed to doing this all the way to the end because I see the fruit that will come from it. It's not to hurt each other. It's to build each other up. So let me ask you one more time. How many people here would love to end duty-driven Christianity? You know, where you just had this long list of do's and don'ts, and you're always, you know, wondering or worrying, do I do it? Do I not do it? Oh, did I check off all the boxes this week? What I'm saying is you can change that. You can exchange that for living a life where all you do is what you love. That's all you do. You do what you love. But how you do that is you allow the Holy Spirit to come inside your heart and mind, transform what you love into what he loves. Because then when you get up in the morning, you're just doing what he wants you to do. I'm going to go in the Word today. God loves that. So you're happy. You know, you're on your way to work. Someone cuts you off. God bless you. Because that's what Jesus would do, right? You see someone on the side of the road who needs some help. You know, buddy, you need some help? Let me pray for you. God bless you. And they say, thank you. And you're like, yeah, you know. And you're doing what you love because you've allowed the Holy Spirit to completely change you from the inside out. And you've allowed the truth from the Word of God to come from the outside in. You're not making choices or decisions anymore. You're just following what God has already told you to do because it's in his Word.